thank you for laying upon our hearts the need to turn back to you and guide us as we listen to your word and open our hearts and work a new work in us and lead us back into your ways. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your Bible this morning to Zechariah. Haven't been there for a while, have we? Next to Malachi, the Italian guy. Or Malachi, however you want to say it. I like Malachi better. Stand with me as I read this morning. Zechariah chapter 4. Verse 6, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then look down at verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to me. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you will take it and use it in our lives, that it will bear fruit, that we will see again the importance of your word. Father, may we never take it for granted, but may it speak to us daily. May it help us, guide us, and direct us to live our lives for your glory and for your honor. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I don't watch the news very often. I really don't. Because I never see anything good on the news. Everything is negative. And yet over the last few days I have watched the news and I'm saddened, grief-stricken at what's happening in our country. Our world is absolutely spinning out of control. Murders, drug addictions are at an all-time high. My little hometown, Willard, Ohio, in the middle of nowhere, 5,000 people probably at most, is known as a drug haven. And I wonder, how is that possible? We have a drug epidemic all through Central Ohio, and it permeates this building across the street. When I was on vacation, I found out that one of the girls I know that worked at Panera had a drug overdose. And when I find out those things, my heart breaks. And is there a remedy? Can things be turned around? And I believe that they can be. I'm just not sure they will be. It can be turned around if we start listening to God again. But without Him, it is absolutely impossible. The question is, does God still speak? Does He still speak to us today? And if He does it really matter? If He does, and He does, as long as He's on the throne, God speaks. But does it really matter to us? Are we really listening? Are we heeding what He says to us? If His word matters, it needs to make a difference. See, all through recorded history, God has spoken to His people. God spoke to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Paul. And that's just the very tip of the surface. God spoke to His people all through His word. And God still speaks to us today if we just listen. Why does God speak to us? One is, I think, that He wants us to know that He wants to have a relationship with us. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, it says this, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. I'm the Lord your God. God wants to have a relationship with us, and he goes to the extreme to meet with Moses face to face, to send his son Jesus to speak to us, to represent who the Father is, who the Spirit is, because he's the Son. He also wrote to tell us what he expects. I just want to turn over to Psalm 119. And answer the question, is God's word important to us? Should it be? I'm just going to read a few verses. If you take time to read this book, there are 150 chapters in Psalm 119. Nearly everyone, with one or two exceptions maybe, nearly everyone mentions the word of God. Testimony, statutes, rules. It mentions the word of God. But just listen. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Listen, if we're going to seek him with our whole heart, his word has to be important to us. We need to hear the word of God. And I can tell you that it's just not when we open the scripture. It's just not when we pray that we hear the word of God. We ought to be able to hear the word of God on an ongoing basis. Any of you reading those thoughts of the day, I call them simple thoughts, maybe they're more than simple, or maybe they're less than simple. But the other day, I was writing one on Friday, and I was stuck. I didn't know where to go. I had no inspiration, no super revelation from God. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I believe God spoke because Psalm 103 came to my mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then I thought of my wife, God's greatest blessing to me. I don't know, maybe some of you know the story, maybe some of you don't. On August 18th, we'll be married 43 years. That's a long time. She is a saint. People tell her all the time, I can't believe you stayed there that long. Our first date was on April the 8th. We were married on August 18th. I knew the first time I went out with her that I would marry her. I think it took her just a little longer to come to that conclusion. But I'm grateful for my wife, and I don't know that I tell her often enough, and I don't know that we tell each other how grateful we are for them and how blessed we are to know them, but I was excited when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, only explained to me by the voice of God that, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. If the word of God is not important, he would not have given us this entire psalm based on his word. Read it this week. It's not a difficult read. Anybody can read 150 verses in about, let's say, 45 minutes. Is it worth 45 minutes to hear about the Word of God, to be able to listen to the Word of God? I am grateful that God speaks to us. Are you? Not only that, but God spoke through his Son. Jesus came. Listen, I'll just read. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came to express who God was. He is God's word to reveal himself to us, God's heart and God's mind. John chapter 14, verse 9 says this, he that has seen me has seen the Father. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, he is the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega, the first and last words of the Greek New Testament, or the Greek alphabet rather. He is not only the first and the last letter, he is everything in between. Everything we know, everything that makes our relationship with God is important is found in Jesus Christ. Everything. He's the first and the last. It's an amazing thing how God wants to speak to us. I guess my question again is, are we listening? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact imprint of his nature. Does God still speak? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy ever was produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through his word. God uses the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Henry Blackaby, I mentioned this last week, and if you were here on Wednesday, Rick pointed out in his study that Henry Blackaby, in his study Experiencing God, talks about the seven realities that are true in experiencing God, and this is the second one. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through his word, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. God still speaks. The question is, are we listening? Tozer talked about several things in the chapter, an unchanging book in an ever-changing world. And I just got to tell you, this is not the world I grew up in. It's not. And I understand that there were some difficult times, but when I was a kid, it was Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. Anybody remember those things? Captain Kangaroo. Leave It to Beaver. As I recall, there were times when they were all wearing suits coming home on Sunday morning from church because church was valued. As I grew older, the society began to change. In the mid to late 60s, there were race riots, whole sections of towns being burned, Vietnam, the hippie generation, the popularization of free sex and drugs. And one of the sayings from that era was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And that's why people were living, and things began to change, and we took... Anyway. Tozer talked about two types of Christians, or two types of people. He talked about the difference between nominal and practical belief. Nominal belief is in name only. What you hold or believe in name. Here's the thing. I'm a Christian. But are you? See, anybody can say they're a Christian, can't they? Anybody. I've heard people in this church say they don't believe in a virgin birth. Let me tell you this. If you don't believe in a virgin birth, you are not a believer. You are not. The Bible talks about the virgin birth, doesn't it? And we either believe all the Bible or we believe none of it. You just can't pick and choose. Does a nominal believer just ignore everything about God? Absolutely not. I read every once in a while, you read stats about how 60% of people in America claim to be Christians. I will tell you, it's probably closer to 15%. You can say you're a lot of stuff. But if you're a Christian, there's a difference. There's a practical belief. A practical belief is what you hold in reality and what holds you. I'm a Christian. I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I begin to live my life in accordance with His Word. It orders the way I live. It demonstrates my love for God. There is a life transformation. There is a continual growth in our relationship with God. Nominal Christian, practical Christian, which one are we? I think all of us have to take a look at that once in a while, don't we? Are we Christians in name only? Can you come to church, be a part of a church, and be a Christian in name only? Absolutely you can. Take a look at Jesus' parable about the wheat and the tares. Listen, I know that none of us are perfect. That's why I need a Savior. That's why I need someone who died for me, whose blood washed away my sins, who gives me the assurance of eternal life. Do we really believe this book is the Word of God? Jerry Vines, who was pastor of First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, once said this: I believe that this is the inspired Word of God from Genesis all the way through maps. This is God's Word to us. Bible. I heard somebody talk about Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It is God's revelation to us. You can't neglect this book if you're going to hear from God. You can't neglect this book if you're going to live your life for Him. You can't neglect this book and expect to grow in grace and truth. One of the problems with the the flagship seminary of Southern Baptist is Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. That is the flagship. That's the first. And yet in the 1970s, they went through this thing where it says, where they taught the Bible contains the Word of God. True statement or false? Is that a true or false statement? The Bible contains the Word of God. It is absolutely false. The Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Every word, every jot, every tittle, everything contained in this book is His Word. It's like the pastor who went to visit a family whose husband and father had died. And they were grieving naturally. And he said, go get your Bible and bring it to me and so we can share some of the truth of the Bible. And they went and got it. And he noticed there wasn't much left of the Bible. There were pages missing everywhere. And he said, what's happened to your Bible? And he said, well, every time we went to church and came home, we tore out those sections of the Bible that you said weren't really true. This is either the incomplete Word of God, and it's absolutely trustworthy, or it is not the Word of God. You cannot pick and choose. You can't. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture. The word all. I once had a very wise man tell me, I was looking for a definition for the word all. You ever thought about definitions for these words we assume we know all the time? Here was his definition. I never had to go to the dictionary. All means all, and that's all means. Pretty simple, isn't it? Absolutely true. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He literally breathed it out. Reproof. I don't like that word very well. Profitable for teaching, for reproof. Y'all know what reproof is? It's a direct confrontation. Reproof means to expose blame. To blame to someone's face. To censure for a fault. But Ephesians 4:15 tells us this: speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. If someone is wrong, we need to let them know we're wrong. We can't let it just go and go and go. Jamie, if I find out you're hanging in the bars and getting drunk, guess what I'm doing? I'm coming to see you. I may find out where you're going to be, and I'll be beside you. Because that's what we're supposed to do according to the Word of God. We are supposed to correct sin. Confront it and correct it. Many say the Bible is irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. Is it? Is the Bible relevant? If it is, then we need to read it. If it is, we need to live by it. If it is, it needs to make a difference in our lives. If it is, there needs to be a continuing life transformation where we are being transformed into the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son. Some say it's outmoded, out of date. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led astray by diverse and strange teachings. How are you going to know what you believe? Listen, there's a group of people out there who want to take your attention away from the truth of the Scripture and put in their erroneous beliefs. Some people call them Christians. They are not. Ever get those people knocking on your door? The Jehovah's Witnesses? I'll tell you why they're not true. They deny the deity of Christ. Either Jesus is God whom he claimed to be, or he is not. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a good guy. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh. That verse I read just a few minutes ago, John 14, 9, have he that has seen me has seen the Father. Do you know why people see the Bible as irrelevant or outmoded? Because society has changed and they think the Bible needs to change with it. Let me ask you this. Has God changed? Has God changed? The same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to be careful. We do not adjust to society. We don't adjust when other denominations or group of believers are adjusting. The PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church, United States of America, has already voted to ordain gays and lesbians to the ministry. The last Methodist General Conference, that's what took up most of the time, was debating on whether they should ordain gays and lesbians to the ministry. I will tell you this. This book says that homosexuality is a sin. You don't appoint anybody to any position who's living with unrepentant sin. Now, I say that, and I want you to look in a mirror. Lying is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. Let's not categorize sin. God will use any repentant sinner to do his work, to accomplish his purposes. So let's be careful in identifying certain groups of people. Paul was a murderer. Did God use him? David was an adulterer and a murderer. Did God use him? Peter denied Jesus. Did God use him? Each person repented after they heard the voice of God speaking to them. God cannot use people who have unrepentant hearts. Let me ask you this question. Do we surrender to the views of others, or do we surrender to God? That's a whole issue, isn't it? Who rules your life? I'm appalled that so-called ordained ministers of the gospel spew racist hatred. I'm appalled when that shooting in Florida happened just a few weeks ago, and a Baptist pastor, thank God he wasn't Southern Baptist, but it doesn't matter, Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Greek Baptist, Blue Baptist, doesn't matter. A Baptist pastor said, that's okay. It's okay to kill gays and lesbians. Are you kidding? Show me that in the Bible. Who made him judge and jury? We need some horrendous, I don't know, horrendous is a good word. It's not a good word. We need a supernatural change in this country. And the supernatural change will only come as Christians listen to the Word of God. You can't expect people outside of Christianity to heed the Word of God. But you can't expect believers to heed the Word of God and do the Word of God so that others can see God at work in the world. No one will come to Christ outside of seeing Him in action. You can tell people about Jesus from now till the cows come home and they won't listen. Do you know, you talk to somebody about Jesus and you tell them the Bible says. And the response has been, I've heard it over and over, well, the Bible is just written by men. It is, as they were used by the Holy Spirit. But I don't know that in many cases you can convince people who God is through this Bible. Can you sometimes? Absolutely. Do you know how you convince most people that Jesus is real and that He will do what He says He'll do? The evidence of a Christian is a changed life. People watch your life. People see how important God is to you. By the way you live. By the way I live. We need to know this word. Your word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against you. How important is the word of God? Tozer said this. We must sell out to God and not the devil. What's it mean to sell out? Mark, you were a wrestling coach again, Gahanna, for years, weren't you? You expect your wrestlers to sell out? I heard that over and over again as I was growing up as an athlete. You got to sell out. You sell out, you give every piece of energy, every bit of energy you have in your body to do what you're doing. To sell out means that every thought is taken captive. To sell out is to give everything you are and everything you have. And we need to sell out to God and not to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 says, don't give the devil a foothold. If you give a devil, I don't remember this, well, I do when I was a kid. They don't have these people so much anymore, but every once in a while when I was growing up, somebody would come knock on the door. They'd have this little suitcase with them. Do y'all remember the Fuller Brush Men? Do y'all remember those guys traveling door to door selling their stuff? Here's what they did. They would get talking to, and I can remember my mom said, I don't want to buy this stuff, but they would put their foot in the door. You could not close the door with their foot in the door. You had to find a way to get that foot out of the door so you'd close the door. Isn't that right? It's the same way with the devil in our lives. You open it up just a little bit, and he gets his foot in the door. And if he gets his foot in the door, he can open that door a little wider and a little wider and a little wider until he comes in. And if we're going to get his foot out of the door, we do that through prayer. We do that through Bible study. We do that through fellowship. We do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Get the foot out of the door and begin to live your life and my life for Christ. We must sell out to God and not to devil. How important is God's word? How important is God's word to you? How important is God's word to me? Let me ask it in all sincerity. Does it make a difference in your life? When I was first saved, a couple years after I was saved, God has blessed me with a pretty good memory. And I've been able to memorize a lot of stuff. I was asked a question one time in some questionnaire to lead a seminar. How many verses of Scripture have I committed to memory? And I can't tell you. I just can't tell you. I've never really stopped and counted them all, but I do know this. A lot of this is in here. Now the question is, of the stuff in here, has it moved to here? And has it moved to my feet? does what's in here really make a difference? And I can remember this. I've been a Christian about 2 years. And the church we went to then had a Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, and a Wednesday night service. And you know how the church kind of fills up on Sunday morning. Sunday evening, there are fewer people there. On Wednesday evening, there are even fewer. So Tom, at that point, I said to someone, are these people really Christians? Do these people really love God? If they love God, wouldn't they be here? Wouldn't they be here every time the doors are open? You know what I realized through the course of my life? If you're here every time the doors are open, there's something wrong in your family. If you're here every time the doors of the church are open, there's a problem in your family. I remember when Michael was about, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. And Wednesday night was the night in our community where they played Little League Baseball. Wednesday night. What else is Wednesday night if you're a Baptist? Church. We lost our son to some degree when I forced him to go to church instead of playing Little League Baseball. You can agree or disagree. I know what's true in my own family. I know what's true in my own life. And I know we're busy. But at the same time, I tell you, we need to be here when we can. You can use this word in a number of ways. You can use this word to condemn, to judge. Not so much, well, maybe even now. People will ask, I had a person ask me yesterday, where you pastor a church? And I told them, and they were gracious, but a lot of times in my lifetime, since I became a Christian, people say, where do you go to church? And I say, I go to so-and-so Baptist church. They immediately shut down. You one of those Bible thumpers? I can remember the day my dad sent us a cassette tape and called me a Bible-thumping so-and-so. We don't use this book to beat people into submission. We use this book, first of all, to grow in our relationship with God. And if we use this book, other than that, we use this book to love people to Jesus. This is not a book that condemns everyone. If I remember, and I may get some things wrong, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And the next verse says, but God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Someday he's coming as judge. That's a given. The word of God says he's coming again, and the next time he comes will be to receive the believers to him and to judge the world. But as long as we're here, as long as there is life, he's coming to save people from their sin. Is this book important? This book is our lifeblood. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Here it is. Open it and eat it. I'm the living water. Here it is. Open it and drink from it. This book is our sustenance in our relationship with God. Does he still speak? Is he still speaking to you? I came in this morning and there are a few of us in the sanctuary, and John was back there in the booth, and Courtney, and that was. But anyway, I said to John, does God still speak? And John said, if we listen. I said, that's not the answer I was looking for, although that's true. Does God still speak? Listen, look at me. Does God still speak? In order for him to speak, though, we have to what? We have to listen. God speaks, we need to listen. Does God still do miracles? Can God still do anything he chooses to do? We need to be familiar with this book. God speaks. by the Holy Spirit. Through the Bible, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances, to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Open your ears. Listen to the voice of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how great.